a special edition of My Money, My Lifestyle with me, Maya Fisher-French.
And with me, Mapalo Maku.
Where we focus on life insurance. We'll be speaking to experts from Liberty to try and understand how exactly life insurance works. So I got a question on Twitter recently, which was from somebody who said, you know, I've had a quote for better life cover. It's a better premium, but I don't want to switch because I'll lose the value that I've built up in my existing life cover. Ooh. So Mablo, to me, it felt like he thought that there was some kind of value or investment value in his life cover. And I think, do you come across this where people think, they don't think about life cover like car insurance. Like car insurance, I'll switch every year.
Yes.
It's just an insurance. Yeah. Somehow there's this feeling that there's actually a value to it.
I think that's such a good explanation, Maya. I've met so many people when, you remember, I think one of the articles I did is how to find money in your budget.
Yes.
And I said, you know, shop around for insurance, you know, personal insurance. And someone said, yeah, I don't want to do that because I'm going to lose out the value. And I said, what value?
Yeah, so what is the value?
What is the value, right? Yeah. I think, especially in the Black community, policies just covers everything. You know, an investment or an insurance product. I think people, when they think about policies, it just covers everything. There must be some money at the end of the day.
Yeah, there must be some policy, some value to this policy.
Exactly.
So you say the Black community. I want to share a story about a white doctor
who
I met who was paying 40,000 rand a month on life cover, and he thought it was a retirement product.
Okay,
he thought
Maya.
It was like both. He thought he was going to life cover and he had retirement, but it wasn't. It was a pure life cover. His widow would have been the richest woman in the country, I think, if he had died.
Wait, Maya. I am 40 what?
40,000 rand a month.
On what?
On basically, it turned out to only be life cover, but he thought that it was also included retirement. So he thought his 40,000 was retirement and life cover, and it was actually only life cover, and he had this massive, massive insurance policy.
Wow.
So, yeah, so it's not, you know, we always use this thing like, well, maybe people are new to financial stuff, blah, blah, blah. No, even a doctor, in fact, you know, can get this wrong. So I think it's really important just to unpack the difference. So life cover is insurance. It pays out for an event.
Mm. Should you die? Should you be disabled? Illnesses, all those things. And it really just pays out on that event.
It's like a car accident. You crash your car. And it pays for it.
Yes.
But if you don't pay your premium or you stop it, there's no cover on your car, right? You don't get, if 3 months later you smash your car and you haven't been paying your premium for 3 months, there's no money.
Yes.
It's the same with life cover.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's an insurance. It's not an investment.
I think, Maya, it's a bit confusing because remember there used to be these old products where there was the risk, life cover, and all the other benefits, but there was also a component of some sort of saving. And those are really, really old products, which are not so popular anymore in the market.
So I think what we're going to do, because this is so confusing, is we have invited Henk Menkes. He's head of risk products at Liberty. So Henk, you've got the picture. People get really confused about what does life cover do. So, you know, if you can maybe just explain, you know, what is there a value in keeping your life cover? When is it worth switching your life cover? Is there ever a time that there's some value attached to your life cover?
Thanks, Maya, for the time. And I think that there's a lot to be considered. And it's in fact, dangerous to try and answer that question directly to anyone listening today. It really does justify a conversation with your financial advisor to really consider both the cover you have today as well as what's available in the market. When we consider why we replace a policy or may choose to change our policy, often it is more related to your living benefits and the cover that is provided in those products today relative to potentially an older product. So,
what does that living benefits mean?
So, your critical illness or dread disease type cover may have the policy you currently have, whether you've had it for a long time or whether it's an old policy, may, for example, only cover cancer and heart attack as cover. Whereas today's policies have had a lot of other conditions added to them. And so it may make more sense to rather take out a product which gives you that broader coverage at potentially a higher premium. But that is based on your need and the fact that these products are today available. Life cover, we generally consider to be a bit of a commoditized product. And so there often the reasons are around premiums. But as you've pointed out, that may be flawed in our thinking, because there may be some intrinsic value in the original policy.
So maybe talk us through that, because as I said, there seems to be, you know, from my perspective, the kind of cover I have, you know, if I stop paying my cover, I don't have any cover. So I can just move to another, you know, there's no surrender value or investment value. But there was a time that I think even Liberty had those products. Yes. And so maybe just explain the difference between the current new age products and the old products. And maybe people understand who are listening who may have one of the other.
So original insurance products were designed always around customer needs. And so one of the products that was quite popular at the time was what was called an endowment policy. And an endowment policy often had what we called a face value and then a target or a savings ambition. So you may have wanted to purchase a house in 5 or 10 years' time, or you may have wanted to retire with a certain lump sum towards which you are saving through this product. However, if you passed away before reaching that age, there was a need for that amount of money as well, or a lesser amount, and that is the insured component of it. And so those products did wrap a savings and an investment, I mean a risk component together into one need. These products evolved, and what is typically today referred to as universal type policies were developed. And what these did is they actually introduced a flexibility early on in your policy duration to adjust the premium or contribution that you're making towards your policy. And that contribution was then used by your insurance company to pay for your risk cover, and the balance was put into what we'll call a savings pocket and earned interest and accumulated along with your as your policy aged. That flexibility early on was something that people appreciated, but I think often what was overlooked is that it meant at later durations.
So if you lived a little too long.
Longer
than life expectancy.
Arguably very much within most people's life expectancy. Okay. Yeah. So 15, 20 years from when you take out that policy, the cost of the risk cover in that year could be significantly more than the contribution you're used to making. And so the money that was in that savings pocket will be used to pay towards the actual cost of the risk cover in that year. And so eventually that savings pool will become depleted over the lifetime of the policy.
Okay, so the policy would actually be used to top up your risk cover
as it gets more expensive over the years.
So maybe this is a really good time to introduce this whole level premium age rating premium, because that's one of the things that I think we're finding, when people ask me these questions, Mapalo, where they say, oh, I've gone to another insurer and they're so much cheaper than my current insurer. And the first question you've got to ask is, what premium are you paying? Are you basing it on your age, or is it smoothed over time? So, Hink, I'd like you to explain to the listeners first what I'm talking about, in your words. What is level premium versus age rated, and why those two are really significant and can be very different?
Okay. So I'll probably just step back again to our endowment-style product, or our universal product. So these products had a real value to them if that savings pocket had a positive balance. So if you cancelled that policy whilst there's a positive balance, that money is the policyholder's and would be paid to the policyholder.
So that's the
depending on the terms of conditions, there may be a slight penalty. Yeah.
So there, if you cancel, there could have still been some cash, but here, now the new products, there's no savings.
There's just the risk component only.
Yeah. So if you cancel, there's no money.
So exactly that kind of thing of splitting out the difference between risk and investment became popular here in the late 90s, where consumers really wanted to know what are they paying towards their risk, and wanted to do goals-based savings outside of their risk cover. And that transparency was very appealing to consumers and advisors. And so there was a trend within the industry to purchase rather cover where it is risk only, if I can call it that. There was, however, still this need or desire for slightly different premium patterns dependent on your need. So much like the universal products, you had flexibility in your contribution up front. These products also provide that to you. So a level premium product is designed such that you start paying today 1,000 Rand, but you will pay 1,000 Rand for the duration of your life if you maintain that policy and the cover amount.
Mm-hmm.
So you can plan a lot better what your premiums are going to be in the future, and particularly in retirement, you can know that you can keep paying for your covers.
You're not going to get, because that's what happens often, it gets too expensive.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you stop using it just the time that you're most likely going to make a claim, because you're getting older.
Yes.
Yeah.
So a level premium product gave you a lot more certainty about that future contribution. Age rated or risk based cover means that the insurance company will charge you every year based on your risk in that actual year. So as you age, your likelihood of passing away or incurring a critical illness and so forth does increase. And so you will be charged every year a higher premium based on that increased risk for the same amount of cover.
Mm. So when you're younger, you have less risk, then it's more
cheaper.
It's cheaper.
Yes.
But the older you get, the more expensive
it becomes. I suppose if you look at the 1,000 Rand example, you may start off at 200 Rand, but suddenly be at 3,000 Rand.
Yes, you start off at quite a significantly lesser amount in the first year that you take out the policy. But certainly within, it could be as short as 5 to 10 years, you'll actually be paying more per year than what someone with a level premium product is paying.
So, I mean, that's a really important point to look at if you are looking at changing your cover, your life cover. And Henk, what else? If somebody gets this quote, like I get them on Twitter, people, and they say, wow, I can pay less, or I've been told this is a better product.
Mm.
What should people be looking at? What questions should they be asking?
So first and foremost, we spoke about that real value that may be locked up in your policy if you have an older generation policy. But when we consider risk-only products, certainly don't fall into the trap of seeing a lower initial premium if you have a level premium policy and swapping for that. Understand that you will in the future potentially have to pay a lot more. And so level premium products actually build up an intrinsic value. So it is not a value that if you lapse it, the insurance company is going to give you a cash value.
Mm.
But by maintaining that policy, you're going to pay a lot less into the future than what you would.
So you've almost made
on a
some payments for
policy.
The future already.
Already now.
But only intrinsically.
Exactly.
You don't actually get the money back. It's just built up as a kind of,
Yes, exactly. So the insurance company has charged you a little bit more early on for the fact that they're going to be getting less later on than the actual cost of the cover.
Okay, so that's really important, because that talks about not about that investment amount, but that...
Yeah, so that's purely looking at the risk cost or the premium that you're paying. What we also need to understand is that all of these policies are generally underwritten. And so you may very well have taken out a policy when you were young and healthy, and your health has deteriorated.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to really get underwritten and make sure that the terms of the quote that has been presented to you will be the premiums that you will be paying on that policy, because following the medical underwriting process, there may be a loading or an exclusion which will be applied to your new policy, which may not have been applicable to your original policy.
So again, it's so important to read the fine print before you sign, because you may actually not realize that you're excluded on the new policy something that was actually covered on your old one.
Yeah.
And Henk, just before we finish off, because we wanted to really, people get confused between investment and risk cover, and we understand risk cover is purely insurance, purely pays out on an event, where an investment you can use for goal saving. How, you're young, or not so young, you may be having kids. How do you balance that? Where does risk and investing fit into the whole financial plan? How do you balance the two, given that we don't all have tons of money? I mean, where should you be focusing at different age groups, stages?
So again, cautionary note that advice should be, you know, case specific.
Okay, this is not advice, people.
I think by now they know that.
Yes,
but this is just ideas to speak to your advisor about.
From a financial management perspective, it's very often difficult to generate equal interest or higher returns on savings than what you're actually paying on debt. So for many of us who may be homeowners and so forth, it may very well be advisable to just really focus on settling your debt.
Mm.
The value you are building up in your estate is your savings. Along with that, clearly if you want to leave your house to your family and it wouldn't have been paid off this year, you need risk cover this year for that worst case scenario. Worse still, permanent disability. Imagine you are still alive and therefore a dependent of your family now, living under that same roof.
It's actually more expensive
to
be disabled than to die because you're still alive.
So to make sure that you have cover in place to actually deliver on your ambitions and your goals for your family based on what you're saving towards and working towards. Should you have then additional free money to invest elsewhere, that's where your investment type products come in, and you can look at either longer term or shorter term duration policies or products that will provide alternative solutions for your goals.
And I suppose also it depends. I mean, if you're sort of 25, you haven't really built up much of an asset base yet, but you've got that massive risk of being disabled or becoming ill and not earning. But maybe when you're 65, your assets have grown significantly.
Hopefully you've
paid off your house. Hopefully your retirement is up to date.
Hopefully that your kids can take care of themselves.
So your need for then risk cover surely decreases. And how does one manage those premiums then? You know, we spoke about level premiums, but now you're kind of 65. Do you switch more to critical illness? Do you just put more into saving? How does it work? Well, you probably need more money anyway because you're not working anymore.
So again, the importance of a financial advisor and a plan for your life is essential. And so annual reviews with your advisor to reassess what are your needs this year, but also into the medium term going forwards is vital. And for many of us, yes, our need for life cover will reduce as we've settled our debt, as our family is independent. But that intrinsic value that's locked up in that policy means that for many people, they would rather continue paying that premium, understanding that there's a significant amount of money that will be payable to their family should something happen.
And it bypasses, well, it's not part of your estate in terms of estate fees or executive fees. I'm always confused, Henk. I don't know. I'm putting you on the spot. It doesn't form part. It does also. Death taxes could apply to it. I'm never sure if it does or doesn't.
As I understand it, your estate will still be taxed, but it will be paid tax free to the beneficiary.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
there's a calculation, Maya.
There's a calculation.
My studies.
Okay, great. We need Muffalo studies here. Yeah. But I know you definitely don't pay executive fees on that policy.
As long as there's beneficiaries on the policy. That's very important. If it's to the estate, you will.
Okay. There are tip for the day.
Yeah. Make sure your beneficiaries are there.
Make sure your beneficiary in your life policy names individuals, not your estate. Otherwise, you will pay more money. More money will go to executives.
Maya, on a question for myself here, okay, Henk. So you mentioned that I'm on an age rated premium right now.
You're gonna run out of money.
I know. So I'm just doing this podcast. Can I go back and change, or what's the procedure there?
You can change your premium pattern on your policy. Some companies will have different rules around that, and depending on how you change it, it may require medical underwriting again.
That's fine.
But you can change it.
You can change it. It's an option.
There we go. We've sorted out Mapalo's financial issues here, which have been great. That is all we achieved today. But Hank, thank you so much for your time. That was very, very insightful. Thank you.
Thank you.
So that's a wrap for today. If our listeners would like to learn more about these or any money-related topics, they can go to the City Press website or to your website,
womanandfinance.co.za,
or my website, mayaonmoney.co.za.
And if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a WhatsApp voice note to 064-554-3959, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Because we want to know what it is that you want to know. You've been listening to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast, featuring the contributors of the City Press Personal Finance Pages.